City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Deb Pierce.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And you're listening to the Windy City Queer Cast, show number 297. I'm Amy Matheny.
Spring is in the air. It's Deb Pierce.
Hey, Deb.
Hi. So I'm feeling springy.
You're springy?
Yeah.
I'm glad you still have a spring in your step. I'm still dealing with this flu.
What is up with that? Do not give it to me through this phone line, please.
I won't. Get your Purell out and just coat it like lube on a condom.
That's wow, to which I am obviously familiar with. I use Purell and Lysol 4-in-1 wipes like they're going out of style.
Really?
Yep.
I don't have
just
either of those
pump.
Things in my house.
Clearly. And who gets sick?
I do.
What is it this time, Amy Matheny?
I don't know. You know, it's this respiratory flu. My theory is that since I stopped smoking, I've done nothing but get sick.
My sister has the same theory. She is not smoking now since January, and she's gaining weight, and she's never been more sick.
Well... I haven't smoked in a really long time now. It's been like 2.5-3 years, but I think they've been my sickest years.
It's actually been 3 years, 1 month, and 13 days. Because didn't we both quit on March 1st? We didn't know each other, but we both quit, didn't we?
Somewhere around there I quit.
Okay, you went out again maybe.
No, I did not. I just don't remember the exact day. It was like my second major time to quit, so I just quit. I didn't even count days that second time.
Right. You know. I didn't know it was going to be March 1st. It just happened to be my aha day.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry you're not feeling well. You sound great. Your voice gets a little Kim Carnes-ish thing going on. If you could sing a little Betty Davis size. A little,
she's precocious.
Nice. Very sexy. That's the one thing
knows.
I miss about not smoking. My voice never gets that sex thing.
Mine never had it. I never had any problems with my voice when I smoked.
Hmm.
I could sing. I felt like I was dying every morning, but I didn't sound bad.
Were you like a real professional? Did you smoke a lot?
Yeah.
Oh. I didn't smoke much. I couldn't sing Kate Bush as well when I was a smoker.
Really? Nobody should sing Kate Bush but Kate Bush. Sorry.
You better watch it.
That's how I feel.
I know. It's a personal preference. It's like all of either you like them or you don't.
Yeah, it's true. Look, you've got us into 80s singers, and I haven't talked about this at all yet on the Queer Cast, but Madonna's little girl is all growed up.
I know, it's weird.
Lourdes. Lourdes.
She is. Yeah, she's.
She's pretty stunning for a 14-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Like.
Oh, I know it. Remember when she was born.
Well, you know, I didn't know if she was going to be really that attractive.
I'm not sure that she is.
She's gorgeous. And I mean, of course, I guess it was last week when everything was going on with the baby adoption in Malawi, more people were talking about Lourdes than were talking about Madonna and the baby and adoption because of the pictures of her.
Yeah, she does have a stunning, I guess her father must be, is he Italian, that one of the dancer?
He's Hispanic or Italian, yeah. I think he's Hispanic.
Well, she's not, you know, she's got a great body and she's a talent and a brilliant businesswoman, but a singer or a looker, I don't think she is. She's unique in her look.
Yeah. But Lourdes looks like her when she was young, but prettier.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, it's interesting, right?
Yeah.
What a great name, too.
Lourdes.
Yes.
Of the waters of Lourdes.
Lourdes Chicone León.
Crazy, crazy, crazy. And hey, did you hear that the Obamas got a dog?
Tell me all about it.
The Obamas got
I changed my cat litter yesterday.
Oh, I did mine too.
Okay, all right.
We are the same person.
Just wanted to get some big news on the queer cast front there.
Yeah, but it was...
Why is that so funny? Why is that so important?
What, Obama's dog?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just kind of a symbol for the America's house. Like, the White House is kind of America's house, and they wanted a dog, and it was a big point in the day when he claimed the election and the presidency down here in Chicago that he said, you know, Malia and Sasha, you have earned the puppy. And so everybody's been waiting to see what the puppy's going to be. And
weren't they doing a Portuguese water dog? Is that what they landed
on? It is
on?
A black Portuguese water dog with white paws. It is cute, cute, cute. And it was given to them by Kennedy, by the Kennedys. And which is truly pretty cute. They were going to do an adoption rescue, but they ended up giving a nice donation to the Humane Society since this dog was given to them.
Ever nice.
Cute, right?
Yeah, and I understand the symbolism of it. I do. I'm just trying to be a bit of a devil's advocate on why certain things are important with the person that runs this, you know.
I think we need some levity in this country because all we keep talking about is stimulus packages and
well, and how about the
21-year-old
female officer 2 weeks into her first tour of duty who was murdered yesterday in the war? Like another Canadian down.
Yeah.
Terrible. Terrible, terrible stuff. So, yeah, you're right. It adds a happy side of humanity.
Yeah.
To the world that's
and it makes them real people. You know, we don't have to think of him as some sort of god. I mean, he's a highly intelligent
man. He's not walking
the
dog. I mean, really? Is he? Actually, he probably would.
He probably would.
He probably will.
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah. I know that was a big point, and I think they're adorable. And, you know, to be honest, as the children of the president, I think that's really important to keep their feet grounded. And in this presidency, I bet you they're going to have, you know, chores to look after the dog and feed the dog and walk the dog.
Oh, they've been told that they will be picking up poop. They have to do the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah, see, that's what makes him even, you know, greater every time we talk about something he does and decides.
Yeah. So what's new with you? You've got a big date planned tonight.
I do. We did a big thing at Pratt FM to win a date with me to see Katie Lang in a city just about 3 hours east of here in Kingston, a big university military town, and she's playing the K-Rock Center, Katie Lang is. So we did a contest for people to enter why in 25 words or less they should win a date with me for a first-class train.
25 words or less?
Yeah, nobody adhered to it.
Yeah.
But the sweetest emails.
Yeah.
My partner and I have been together. My partner and I have never been to a concert. My boyfriend just lost his job, and I just would like to, you know, just the sweetest emails, like really tough pick, really tough. It was out of my hands. I just was like, I cannot be impartial here. I want everyone to win. So we actually extended the giveaway to a grand prize pack and then 5 pair of tickets to go and see her. So that's a big day. I'm taking the big gay Proud FM truck down there and having dinner with the winner and then watching the concert from a private suite. And there was talk of me introducing Katie Lang, but they're keeping it sort of non-specific when it comes to any sort of sponsorship or radio station. So,
but are you going to be hanging with her?
Sorry, again?
Are you going to hang with her?
Well, I want to. I've been in touch with Martin and to see if I can sort of get some backstage stuff going on because she's just lovely. And when we've met before, we've just really got on like a house on fire. So ideally that would be a great thing. I'm bringing my partner and I'm meeting my sister. She lives in Kingston. My sister does. So it's going to be a whole, you know, family night. So hopefully, otherwise it's going to be a great concert because she just melts me. She breaks me. Her voice is enough to, I don't know what.
Yeah.
Can't even really describe in words, you know?
She's pretty extraordinary. And I love that she sings barefoot.
Yes. And she has a song from her movie about being I would walk through the snow barefoot.
She does indeed.
Yeah, I love that song.
And then she does.
Yes, and then she does. And well, most recently, yeah, that's right. She was barefoot and in a black suit. She did a special thing for a Bravo, a cable station we have here called the Bravo Network, where they did a whole unplugged studio session where there was a studio audience in the round. Mm-hmm. And she was exactly barefoot and adorable.
Yeah. She
and
is.
Manly. She's a manly woman. So that's what's going on today. And then I'm calling in part of the show tomorrow from the lobby of the Abbey Manor Inn, where I'm being put up at the bed and breakfast there.
Nice.
And I've asked for the allegedly haunted room just to add a little more, you know,
nice.
A little more excitement to the evening. And then back to the grindstone on Thursday.
Hey, guess what I'll be doing on Thursday?
What?
Gay Idol.
Yes, how's that going?
It's going great. And
yes,
Thursday.
Lots of talent.
Yep, lots of talent. Thursday night will be at Spin. And I have to tell you the funniest thing. You know, many people know that my theater company that I'm a part of, About Face Theater, we've been on this major Face the Future campaign because we've been in financial dire straits, mm-hmm. unlike the band. And so my friend Benjamin, who's done a number of shows with us, he has pledged to compete in every event in April in every bar that awards a cash prize. So he has already been to Hydrate and won the Easter Basket Contest. He won $200, which he has donated to About Face.
Yay, Benjamin!
He is coming to Spin on Thursday to try out for Gay Idol. He will be... going to the, as he calls it, the downright degradingly ridiculous lube wrestling that he'll be going to. He's going to a drag race Dragzilla competition. So he is literally going to so many different events. It's quite funny. He's doing the wet boxer competition at Roscoe's. He's doing the jockstrap competition
hot.
At Crew.
All of that's hot. Benjamin.
The
you
underwear
go,
competition at Jackhammer. He's literally like 8 bars in a month trying to take it all home for About Face Theater. So
hats off and pants off to you, friend.
Yeah, so I'm going to be doing a little play-by-play, which means he's already won his first competition. He's on to Thursday's Gay Idol. The good news
is... like a sports announcer. I love it. He's already won his first competition.
That's right.
I love it. I love it.
Well, here's the good news. He's super cute.
Yeah.
Has a super good body, so yeah. It helps with all this. He's very shy, though. I mean, this is not something he would do. But he can sing very well. Actually, we were in a musical together. So the good news is he probably... is deserving or has a good shot at winning these, and his heart's in the right place, so you want him to win. So it's,
you absolutely do. Is he being introduced as with that premise in mind, or no?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Tough call.
But and since I'm the host, I kind of can't do that because I don't want to.
I was just going to say.
Yeah, stack the deck, so to speak. But he is bringing a lot of people out, and that's how you win Idol. So it's very exciting. Go, Ben.
Yay, Ben. That's really a nice idea. That's karma points right there.
Yeah.
Either way, I mean, he's won just for picking that idea. And you guys, that's a win-win right there.
Well, if he wins the entire month, he'll have raised $1,500.
Wow.
Which is significant.
Go, Benjamin. You got my vote.
Go, Benjamin, and get those Benjamins. That should be his t-shirt.
Oh, yeah, good one.
Hey, let me tell you what's on the show today. Speaking of all that hot, hot stuff, like hot boxers, hot jockstrap.
I know, I can't stop thinking about the
wrestling.
Underwear contest, and I want a spray bottle and a white pair of, well, okay, go on.
We have a leather man on the show. Leather Daddy.
I like the daddies.
They're so sweet, the leather men. You just kind of want to see them as...
They are a good community. They're very sweet.
You just want to see them as like, ooh, leather man. But they're so like, oh, cuddly and sweet and huggy and... I kind of love them. Mark Austin, a former finalist of the 2007 International Mr. Leather, is on the show today. He's going to bring us Leather 101 because we are gearing up almost 4 weeks away to the International Mr. Leather here in Chicago Memorial Day weekend, along with Bear Pride. Let's not forget the lovely bears who are also
equally lovely. Equally as lovely. Equally. And sweet and engaging. Yes.
So Mark's on the show to talk about a seminar that he's doing at the Center on Halsted. It's 4 weeks long, but even if you can't get to the seminar, just a lot to think about the history of how the leather community started and where it is moving toward today, which is a very different an expansive horizon. And also the movie Greg Gardens, Richard Knight Jr. bringing us his review of the HBO film with Drew Barrymore and Jessica Lange.
I just super subscribed to HBO. To amazing.
Well, good
that
for you because you'll get to see it. Yep.
Yes. I saw a trailer for it. I thought it was Julianne Moore.
Oh, no. Drew Barrymore.
I thought the aged Drew Barrymore was Julianne Moore.
Well, they say that she is a revelation, that it is a life and career changing role for her. So we shall see. Plus, we've got lots of news after last week with everyone accepting same-sex marriage from Iowa to Vermont here in the U.S. of A. Are there more stories to tell? Well, there are many of them in entertainment. And then, of course, we'll tell you what's going on in the theater scene. So, Deb, it is a jam-packed show.
My God, I'm glad I'm sitting down. I can't handle it. I need nutrients. I'm going out for a protein shake. I can't handle it.
Okay.
Hi there. I'm a Miller Lite Brewmaster.
And I'm a Miller Lite Drinkmaster.
It's the Brewmaster Drinkmaster Show.
You know, most people know that Miller Lite tastes great, but up until now, only brewmasters like me knew why.
Well, most people know that my friends and I are the most dominating presence in the Kalamazoo Western Division Level 3 Softball League, but very few know why.
Huh. You see, we add the hops first for flavor, second for balance, and a third time to lock in the great Pilsner taste by enhancing the foamy head.
Yeah, well, we don't need fancy softball strategery to win.
We call it the triple hops brewing process.
Well, we call it heart, Mr. Man.
We're on the same team here. I thought you would appreciate this new information.
I apologize. I just wish I had something as important to share.
Well, buy a six-pack of Miller Lite and you will.
Miller Lite brewmasters have to know the ins and outs of triple hops brewing. The only thing you have to do is enjoy the great-tasting light beer. Miller Lite. Great taste, less filling. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Live responsibly.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is The Week in News. The Boycott Jamaica campaign aims to spread awareness about the anti-gay violence and human rights in that country by asking people to not travel to the country and to refrain from buying Blue Mountain Coffee, Myers Rum, and Red Stripe beer. Men in Jamaica are even avoiding prostate exams out of fear of being called gay.
Harry Knox, director of the Human Rights Campaign's Religion and Faith Program, has been named to President Obama's Advisory Council on Faith-Based and Neighborhood Partnerships, which is composed of various religious and secular leaders.
The Fair Pricing Coalition, founded by the late Martin Delaney, has negotiated with major HIV drug manufacturers to require them to implement patient drug copay programs. Companies involved include Bristol-Myers Squibb and GlaxoSmithKline. Others, such as Merck and Pfizer, offer alternatives such as reimbursement assistance.
In Springfield, Massachusetts, the mother of an 11-year-old boy who hanged himself said her son was constantly picked on by classmates, called gay, and threatened. The mother found her son, Carl Joseph Walker Hoover, hanging by an extension cord in their home on April 6th.
California Assemblyman Tom Amiano has introduced the U.S. Blood Donor Non-Discrimination Resolution, which urges the FDA to revoke its policy banning gay and bisexual men from donating blood.
Openly gay U.S. Representative Barney Frank announced that the House Judiciary Committee would consider H.R. 1913, otherwise known as the Local Law Enforcement Hate Crimes Prevention Act, the week of April 20th. Frank expects the committee to pass the bill and the House to vote on the bill later this spring.
Spencer Vogt, a gay 19-year-old student attending Cinco Ranch High School in Houston, was shot dead, allegedly by another gay teen he'd met online. Vogt was found wrapped in a tarp with two gunshots to the head. Lee Carl Banks III has confessed to the murder.
The New Hampshire House has passed a bill that protects trans individuals from discrimination. The measure passed 188 to 187, 1 month after it was voted down 181 to 149. The bill now goes on to the state Senate.
Manuel Martin Torres Saldana has confessed to murdering an Austin priest. Saldana, 36, said that the Reverend Jesse Uresti, 69, wanted to end the relationship and start seeing another man because of Saldana's drug addiction. Saldana said he stabbed Uresti in self-defense after Uresti came after him with a machete.
The Washington, D.C. City Council unanimously approved legislation that recognizes same-sex marriages performed in other states and countries as legal. The mayor is expected to sign the measure if it clears a second vote May 5th.
And in world news, in Iraq, six gay men were shot to death by members of their tribe in two separate incidents over a span of 10 days. The shootings happened after a tribal meeting when the members decided to go after the victims who had been disowned by relatives. A Sadr City cafe that was a popular meeting spot for gay men was also set on fire.
In American Samoa, the country's censor board has banned Milk, the Oscar-winning film chronicling the life of gay rights activist Harvey Milk. Principal censor made the decision, rejecting an application for the film to be rented and sold in Samoan outlets. People connected with Movies for You, the island's largest home movie outlet, are reportedly disappointed with the decision. Homosexuality is illegal in Samoa.
And in entertainment news, fashion designer Marc Jacobs recently became engaged to Brazilian boyfriend Lorenzo Martone. The two have also hinted to reporters that they may be adopting a baby girl.
Clementine Ford, a former L Word star and daughter of actress Cybill Shepherd, has officially come out. Ford, who denied an affair with L Word co-star Catherine Moyning, currently stars on The Young and the Restless.
Richard Hatch of Survivor asked for early release from his 4-year federal prison sentence, claiming that his sentence was incorrectly calculated and that he was represented by an incompetent attorney. Hatch is to be released in 2010.
Actress Lindsay Lohan's life is in even more turmoil now that she and DJ Samantha Ronson have split. Ronson hired 5 security guards to keep Lohan out of an after-party last week at the Chateau Marmont in L.A. And Stevie Nicks denied reports linking Lohan to a biopic at the Fleetwood Mac star, saying that it will happen over my dead body. Nicks said she needs to stop doing drugs and get a grip, then maybe we'll talk.
Out comedian and actress Wanda Sykes is getting her own talk show. Sykes will host a topical Saturday program on Fox in the fall that includes panel discussions about current events.
Elton John marked his 62nd birthday with a low-key party at a low-key venue, Hamburger Hamlet in L.A. Nice to see life gets simpler with age.
Jack Wrangler, who brought a ruggedness to 70s gay porn, has died of emphysema at the age of 62. He was the subject of the recent DVD, Wrangler, Anatomy of an Icon.
Out Magazine has unveiled its 3rd annual Power 50 issue, with Congressman Barney Frank topping the list. Others include talk show host Rachel Maddow, number 4, the New York Times Gay Mafia, 13, financial guru Susie Orman, number 22, Facebook co-founder Chris Hughes, number 25, and Chicago Public Schools CEO Ron Huberman, number 39.
Sacha Baron Cohen's new film, featuring the persona of gay Austrian fashionista Bruno, has received an NC-17 rating because of its gay sex scenes. Bruno, Delicious Journeys Through America for the Purpose of Making Heterosexual Males Visibly Uncomfortable in the Presence of a Gay Foreigner in a Mesh T-Shirt, contains objectionable scenes, which will be removed before the film is in theaters and then put back in for the DVD release. And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
You want to learn to play tennis in no time? TNT. Chicago's Midtown Tennis Club has the country's only patented tennis teaching program to turn beginners into players in just 3 short weeks, with sessions beginning May 2nd. During Tennis in No Time, participants will learn the basics of the game, including forehand, backhand, and serve in a fun group atmosphere. Best of all, Tennis in No Time is affordable, even in today's economic climate. Enrollment in TNT costs $115 and includes a 3-week membership to the Midtown Tennis Club, invitations to 2 social parties, and 9 hours of instruction from the country's best pros for only $115. That's less than $20 for each hour and a half lesson. Midtown Tennis Club is located in the heart of Chicago's Lincoln Park at 2020 West Fullerton Avenue. For more information on Tennis in No Time, call 773-235-2300 or visit midtown.com/Chicago. TNT. It's dynamite.
Let's go to the movies anyway and see.
I'm Richard Knight Jr. with another Night at the Movies Minute. Grey Gardens, one of the best movies of this year's spring season, isn't even in theaters. It's on HBO, debuting this Saturday the 18th and replaying throughout the month. Character drama is as complex, compelling, and thoughtful as Michael Soucy's movie, a new feature version of the beloved 1975 documentary, Are Rare. Drew Barrymore playing Little Edie Beale from age 19 to 60 gives what amounts to a career-altering performance, while Jessica Lange does a superb turn as her passive-aggressive mother, Big Edie. The openly gay Soucy, making his feature debut with the film, is off to a grand start. The documentary captured outspoken, one-of-a-kind Little Edie with her outlandish fashion sense and her dotty, controlling mother, Big Edie, holed up in their decaying East Hampton mansion, along with countless cats and all their wacky, heartbreaking glory. Through its many other incarnations, 2 documentaries, countless books, a Tony Award-winning musical, this feature, and I'm guessing a sitcom and opera yet to come, Materialist had a deep connection for gay audience members who perhaps recognized themselves in the conflicted, beloved story of devoted mother and quote-unquote different daughter, hanging on to their artistic yearnings in the face of reduced circumstances. Each succeeding version has given us more of the backstory, and now with Susie's script, co-written with Patricia Rosima, we finally have what feels like a complete edition. The film uses the documentary as a framing device for all that came before and some that came after, for a fleshed-out portrait of both women. Barrymore and Lang both turn in bravissimo performances, as little Edie would say. The dust-ups between the two join the ranks of other memorable mothers with movie daughter conflicts at their center. Frances, Postcards from the Edge, Terms of Endearment, The Glass Menagerie, and yes, when viewed from a certain angle, even Mommy Dearest. After decades ensnared in a lurid fascination with Grey Gardens, I can't even say Grey Gardens, but that's it. Like little Edie, I'm finally peacefully ready to move on after watching this perfect, perfect little movie. It's a much better movie than my ability to talk about it is. I'm Richard Knight Jr., and that's your Night at the Movies Minute.
Thousands audition, 24 get to the stage, but in the end, only 8 will win the chance to dance. This is the story of the ones who make it and the ones who don't. A Chorus Line, the best musical ever.
Begins April 14th at the Ford Center for the Performing Arts Oriental Theater. For tickets, visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
Cast recording available on Masterworks Broadway.
Culture Club.
Culture Club.
Culture Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Weird.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of April 13th, 2009, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. American Theater Company, in association with About Face Theater, presents Hedwig and the Angry Inch by John Cameron Mitchell and Stephen Trask, an award-winning rock musical about a young East German who gives up a little part of himself in order to escape communism for the freedom in the U.S. Hedwig and the Angry Inch is playing now through May 17th at American Theater Company. Tickets at atcweb.org.
Million Dollar Quartet is a hit, raves the Chicago Tribune. On December 4th, 1956, Johnny Cash, Jerry Lee Lewis, and Carl Perkins and Elvis Presley played together for the first and only time. Relive that night with the new rock and roll musical Million Dollar Quartet. Now extended at the Apollo Theater, don't miss this show. For tickets to Million Dollar Quartet, visit Ticketmaster.com.
About Face Theater proudly presents a benefit performance of Theater BAM Chicago's Schoolhouse Rock Live, one night only, Wednesday, April 22nd at Mary's Attic, 5400 North Clark, with doors open at 7 p.m. and the show at 8. Tickets only $20. Don't miss this hour-long adaptation of the beloved Emmy Award-winning animated series and help benefit About Face Theater's Face the Future campaign. For more on Schoolhouse Rock Live, visit aboutfacetheater.com. And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
This is Sharon Gless, and you're on the Windy City Queercast.
Gotta get dip. Gotta get dip. Gotta get dip. Gotta get dip, 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 dip. Boom, boom, boom. Gotta get dip. Boom, boom, boom. Gotta get dip. That boom, 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 gotta get that boom, 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 that boom, 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 that boom, 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 that boom, boom. Yo, I got that hit to beat the block, you can get that bass on below. I got that rock and roll, that future flow, that digital spit, next level visual shit. I got that boom, 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 how to beat bang.
You sold 2000 and late. I got that boom, 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 that future boom, boom.
Well, folks, we're gearing up for IML, that's International Mr. Leather, in just a month. And to get you prepared, I thought we would talk with the real leather man, former International Mr. Leather 2007 finalist, Mark Austin. And he's going to give us some Leather 101 and also some information about a four-week discussion series on the history of the leather community that is going to be happening here in Chicago. Hey, Mark, it's great to have you on here. Whenever I see tulips springing up, I think, oh, it's time for IML. It's leather time.
How about those black leather roses they sell?
So, Mark, tell me, how did you first get involved in the leather community? You've been in the community, I think, for like 25 years.
Right. I first got involved in the leather community. I was in graduate school in Boston, and I was looking for an experience that was a little different than the the early 80s, moosed hair and coifs and pretty gay boys. And I got connected up with some guys in the leather community that just, they were real guys, T-shirts and jeans, sort of non-stereotypical gay men. And so that was sort of my first attraction to it, was just the whole image of it. I spent some time in the military, so that sort of made my my own sense of my personal masculinity a little different than sort of the mainstream gay world. After time, I got involved more and more in the community, met more people, and that's sort of how it all began.
So, Mark, is there a common personality to the leather community? I mean, a way in which you would describe it, or is it really just a diverse group of folks?
It's extraordinarily diverse. One of the things I'm going to be talking about in my class is how diverse it is and how it's changed dramatically over the last 50 and 60 years. There are subgroups that are primarily sort of kink fetish oriented. There are the biker groups. There are, the leather sex clubs. It's such an amazingly diverse community. The thing I find interesting about it is, as diverse as these people are, it's also a very, very tight, very self-caring community. That's sort of the surprise is how wonderfully normal and wonderful people everybody I've met in this community have been.
So to begin a conversation about the leather community, are we starting to talk around World War II? I mean, is that the origin of the community, or just when the community really started to mobilize?
I think post-World War II is a period where these groups started to become, they could start to become public and organized. Some of the earliest groups got together before there were any bars to socialize in, any gay-related bars, certainly before any leather bars, and they got together as a place, as a safe place to meet and party and have a good time. So I think the reason I picked World War II is it's the first real time where we see some type of formal organization of particularly the early motorcycle clubs, which are one of the founding pieces of the puzzle. The other reason I like to talk about World War II is it's the first time sort of in our generation and the most recent past where so many people were, because of the war, were brought from small towns, big cities, all sorts of different socioeconomic strata, and put together. And for example, both for the men and women in the military, it was probably their first sort of, homosocial experience, being on a ship, for example, with 1,000 other men. So I think all of those things congealed to begin the sort of formalization of what we now know as the modern leather community.
So then was it with Stonewall and the gay liberation movement that the community became more active and really started getting involved in social activism, really being out there in a more progressive kind of way?
After Stonewall, it became possible to be, more out. The bars were more public. They were raided. They were still raided a lot, but they were raided less frequently than they had been before. One of the interesting things to look at is how the organization of the leather community, and for particular the leather and motorcycle clubs, set a precedent for the gay and lesbian organizations to come. For example, you go out today and you see, you know, we have the gay choruses, we've got the gay running groups, gay sailing, gay political organizations. You can, in some ways, funnel all their roots back to the strong organization of these early social clubs.
Mm-hmm.
So they sort of set a model on how to organize and how to survive in a minority organization.
So then in the 1980s and the early 90s with the advent of HIV and AIDS, how did the leather community respond then? I mean, I know you have a history of a lot of work, especially when you were in San Francisco with HIV and AIDS through the leather community, but how did you see that community really respond?
Right. I moved to San Francisco right during the height of the HIV crisis. And one of the things, I mean, every community was decimated, you know, every sub-organization or subset of the gay community, and then the communities, the straight community beyond that. But one of the things I was really impressed about is how much social action was happening from the leather clubs, the biker clubs, weekly fundraisers, food pantries. I got involved in a calendar that was the South of Market calendar that was a fundraiser for AEF, and that's AIDS Emergency Fund. There was rental assistance. There was just every group had their pet project or their pet three projects, and you saw the community coming out there and really digging in to help people that were being affected by this. I mean, not to say that the leather community was the only organization doing, because it certainly wasn't, but it was very out there. One of the most famous things in San Francisco was the Sunday afternoon beer bust at the San Francisco Eagle, which was wall-to-wall bikers, leathermen, and everybody else, and there was always a fundraiser going on. There was an auction going on. It was just amazing to be a part of.
Do you think there was a stigma against the bathhouses and the leather communities as being just a very visible face of the community when the AIDS crisis hit?
Yeah, and unfortunately, the conservative media didn't help that at all. You know, if they went to a gay pride parade, you know, they always picked the leather men and the drag queens to take photographs of. So that was kind of tough. I one of the things I find kind of ironic about the sort of the stigma of the leather image in some mainstream perspectives is that a lot of the men that were attracted into the early leather community were those who didn't like the typical social stereotypes. They went for the sort of the masculine and somewhat invisible image. They eventually became out, but I always found it's kind of ironic that the guys that want to be sort of regular guys wind up being the on the far end of the freaky spectrum from a conservative perspective.
So, did you find for yourself that at first you were, well, first you said you were introduced to the more masculine group of men being the leather community, but then did it evolve over the years and change and, I don't know, become more distinct for you? I mean, did you ever think that you were going to be competing in a leather competition?
At the very beginning, it was much more not being stereotypical, trying to go for the butch image, the sort of the masculine perspective. And I think over time that sort of that image in the leather community became hyper masculine and became almost a caricature of itself. But for me, in terms of competing, I competed for the first time in San Francisco in the early 90s, and it was just, oh, this sounds like fun, and, you know, it's a really good cause. This was a competition, a leather competition, to be on a fundraising calendar. And I got on that, and I said, you know, this is great. It's a way, the thing that I enjoyed about competing, other than just the fun of it all, is that it gives you a place to, gives you a strength of voice to bring a message across. And that's one of the reasons I'm doing this particular education piece, is I think if you're going to put your face up there as a member of the leather community and be a public figure, then you have an obligation to give something back in terms of community service or education. And I just chose to do this education piece.
So are there categories in these competitions? I mean, are you doing like question and answer, swimsuit, evening gown, like Miss America?
No, it's amazingly similar. And I have a friend who's said he always calls it sort of like Miss America with lots of dead cow. And there's quite a strict judging set up. You are judged on Obviously, a look, and you typically are in five or six different outfits, which can range from sort of bar cruise wear to there's a jockstrap wear, there's formal leather. There's several different variations you have to compete in from a just from a physical perspective. It's also how you respond on stage. There are events where you're asked a very serious question. There are others where you're asked a very funny question. Funny questions usually asked when you have the least amount of clothes on, which is always makes it even funnier sometimes. then you have interviews with judges who are known in the leather community, usually past title holders or people of stature within the community. And that's when in the case of IML anyway, that's when they narrow it down to the top 20, and then the top 20 compete again in a very similar type of process. Again, it's stage presence. You actually give a speech on stage about something you're passionate about, but hopefully or maybe not relates to the community. So and then there's visual judging, interviewing again. So it's very much like any other type of competition. Miss America is kind of a funny thing to compare it to, but it's a pretty fair comparison.
Do you have to have a platform as a contestant? I mean, then if you have had one, what was your platform?
The platform you get to select yourself. My platform was talking about how the more traditional leather world interacts with the great diversity of the current leather world. The leather world today looks quite different than it did 50 years ago, and leather in some ways has become an umbrella term for the BDSM, kink, fetish communities. And it's not just black leather anymore. There are a lot of other things involved in it. It's caused a lot of conflict and a lot of disagreement within the community, but that my speech talked about trying to accept, all things are cool, etc.
So is the term leather, I mean, is that just the leather community, or is that now an umbrella term? I mean, does it include latex, S&M?
It depends on who you talk to. There are those that would like the term leather to be reserved just for a more traditional black formal / biker leather. Mm-hmm. But in reality, the leather community, if you look at it today, does include such a wide spectrum of things from it can be something as simple as someone likes the eroticism of wearing leather. It may or may not include involvement in BDSM practices. It may or may not include, sports gear fetish, rubber, latex, the whole, anything you could possibly think of that's sort of out of the realm of mainstream vanilla sex. And then, we're also dealing with issues about including certainly the women's leather scene, the pansexual leather scene, the heterosexual BDSM scene. So that's sort of the other spectrum. And then you can talk to 20 people and there'll be no real agreement of what's really in the leather community and not. There has been a movement that's been called Kink Nation, which is a term that probably more accurately describes all of those groups. But leather has, at this point in time anyway, is the umbrella term that covers all those groups.
So it's very exciting. I mean, International Mr. Leather, the fact that it happens here in Chicago, I mean, it's really quite an impressive event over Memorial Day weekend. And it's a long weekend,
right.
So if many of you out there are listening, start making your plans now to come into town. And I remember when I first came to town, anybody can go to IML. I mean, maybe not the competition and some of the parties, but anybody can go where there are booths and people will make you a pair of leather pants, or you can buy a harness, you can get some videos, you can buy a rack,
toys,
a whip,
right.
Bustiers, I mean, all kinds of things, at the Mart, at the Leather Mart. So it's really an impressive weekend. How do you think that the internet, the World Wide Web, what kind of impact has that had on the community? Has it expanded the community? Has it helped bring people together?
It's sort of been a two-edged sword, I would say. On one hand, the internet is such a wonderful tool for connecting people that physically would never, get to connect with each other just because of distance. There's so much discussion going on. On the negative side, I would say if you look at the kink fetish community, people tend now to go to a website that is directly related to their particular kink or fetish and connect with people that way, rather than being part of a larger, leather kink social scene, meeting people through that kind of a venue. So I feel, in that sense, I see a lot of people just in some ways a loss of social skills and sort of interaction skills, because we tend to compartmentalize and nitpick right down to the very, very specific thing we want to do. But again, having on the other hand is having access to all of these things. And one thing I'd like to mention too is IML is predominantly a gay male event, although straight men have competed, as far as I know, for the last several years. The year I competed, I knew there were at least one gay straight man in that event. But there are also parallel events, International Ms. Leather. There are pansexual events that are very similar. And one of the things I think people from all of those outside groups, if it's related to BDSM leather, like to come to IML for the MART, et cetera, et cetera. And again, that's something you can find out and cross-reference on the internet too. That's another great use of it.
So are you competing this year in IML?
I am not. I'm not competing at this event. I'm competing at another event in July in New Orleans called American Brotherhood Weekend.
What are the responsibilities of the International Mr. Leather?
The official word on all of these contests is the only real responsibility when you win a contest is to come back next year and act as a judge. The reality of it, the community expects you, yes, to be the spokesperson, and you wind up judging a lot of contests, if not the majority of the regional and feeder contests. I think if you've gone for that kind of a title, then you should expect to be a positive face and be a positive image for the title you're representing. And that's generally been the case.
So you're going to be talking to people at the center on Halsted for those people in Chicago who kind of want to gear up, want to meet some other people in the leather community or be involved in discussion about this history of the leather community. That's going to be taking place at the center on Halsted, 3656 North Halsted. And it's going to be four Wednesdays, April 22nd, 29th, May 6th, and May 13th. So Wednesday, April 22nd through May 13th from 7 to 9 at the center on Halsted. And it's a great to talk about this because it's also Bear Pride, which that weekend.
Right,
so
both
we'll have lots
weekend.
Of leather people and bears. And I have to say that some of the sweetest, most amazing people, most amazing guys I've ever met are people, men in the leather and bear community.
Mm-hmm.
So how are you going to be breaking down these topics of the leather community over the four sessions?
Right. I broke it down into four pieces. The first session, we're going to be talking about the leather community just past Second World War.
Mm-hmm.
The second session, April 29th, we'll be talking about the Stonewall era, liberation, and that whole period, and the bike organizations and those sort of things. May 6th is the HIV session, and we're going to be talking about the HIV hitting the gay and leather community. We're also going to do a cross promotion for some HIV education, and we're going to do a little special IML section with some fun facts about IML. Since we're going to be talking about serious in the beginning, we're going to talk some really funny stuff at the end. And then the final class on May 13th is all about the modern leather community, how the internet impacts it, how social changes have affected the community, and that should be a lot of fun too.
Mark, what is the future of the leather community? I mean, what do you think the next era will bring?
Well, I think that the community just needs to keep doing what it's been doing and stay a strong social presence and a strong presence of just having fun and enjoying each other's sexuality and enjoying each other's community. And it's going to evolve. It's going to change. It's never going to look the same twice. So it needs to grow and continue what it's been doing so well for so long.
And is there a misconception of the community of unsafe sex? I mean, is that an obvious misconception, or are there others?
I think that's possibly a misconception. I think that, we don't all have people locked in our basements and tied up and slaves and things like that. And
you don't get one of those after 25 years?
Yeah. Well, there's something. No, I'll say I don't have any in my basement. I'll just say that there's some people that do. No, I think that probably the misconception is that maybe the thing that people don't understand is these are really wonderful, cool people. They're the doctors, lawyers, attorneys, teachers. They're everyday people in your life that we just have, you know, likes. Sexual activities or social activities that are not mainstream. That's probably the biggest biggest misunderstanding is the realness and the averageness of a lot of these people. I think one of the things that's happening that's very positive is because of the sort of the gay male of the community, the spawning communities around that are becoming much more public and available. The straight BDMS and leather community, the women, the pansexual, all of those things are now coming to a much more public space. So I think that's been helped a lot too.
So IML is Memorial Day weekend. Hope you get your leather on. And head on down to the Center on Halsted. There'll be more information at centeronhalsted.org. We'll have that linked in our show notes about these four sessions, April 22nd through May 13th from 7 to 9, four Wednesdays in a row, talking about the history of the leather community. And also you can get information on International Mr. Leather all over the web. So get your information, get your hotel soon, folks, because they fill up very quickly. And Mark, thanks so much for being on. It's really been great talking with you.
My pleasure. Thanks so much.
It's spring, time for flowers to bloom and lovers to love and the Joffrey Ballet to dance. See the Joffrey Ballet's spectacular spring program filled with romantic stories of young lovers, angels in a starry sky, and a wedding, all told in glorious dance, featuring Christopher Wheeldon's Carousel, set to music from the Broadway classic. Just 9 performances, April 29th through May 10th. Call 312-902-1500 or order online at Ticketmaster.com.
So, Deb, it was great to have you on the show today.
My pleasure to be here. Amy, feel better, sister.
I promise next time that I will feel well. And I hope that you have fun with Katie. Will you tell her that Amy from Chicago says hi?
I absolutely will.
I always tell
That'll
her the same
That'll be my
story.
In, actually. I'll say that I'm you.
I always, well, no, she won't remember that. But I always tell her the same story. I'm always like, I met you at RFK Stadium at Equality Rocks with Michael Feinstein and Rufus Wainwright and 2001, and
that
worked for a while, but it doesn't work much anymore because it's 2009. It's a long freaking time ago.
We may need to update that story.
Yeah, I need a new story is the point. But I love her and her bare feet. She's so shy.
You know what I just realized? I'm wearing an Aha Her t-shirt today because it goes with my outfit, my little dress pants. But Aha Her is led by lead singer Laisha Haley, who's Katie Lane's ex.
I think you need to change that.
I need to change that shirt. I kid you not. I am literally looking down at it right now. Mama needs to change.
Yeah, not good.
Oh, gosh. Oh, phew.
All right, so you go. Don't go changing, but do change your shirt.
Okay.
And when you're on next, we will talk about how the concert was. And maybe we could have your person on who gets to tell us what a date with Deb is like, since none of us really know.
That's true. Nobody does.
I mean,
well,
millions want to know, but... Only your proud, lucky listener gets to know.
Hundreds served, but not millions. And I will let you know.
You're too much. I hope you meet the ghost of Christmas past.
I know. I can't wait. Apparently, he hovers over your bed. It's really exciting. I can't
Ooh,
wait.
Ooh, kinky.
Yeah, he's the guy that lived there originally.
That's so kinky.
I know. It's hot.
Maybe he was a leather guy.
Oh, my God. Well, that would be really nice. I do believe, yeah, no, I think he's missing a leg. Is that a fetish? No, I don't know.
Of course it is.
Of course it is.
A nubbin? A nubbin is always a fetish.
David Cronenberg, crash. Yes, gross. Okay, good.
Oh, Lord. All right, folks, have a great week. Don't forget to tune in to Grey Gardens on HBO on Saturday, and we'll be back next week. I'm going to be talking with Steven Rader. We're going to Sidetrack for Show Tune Night because, you know, I know I'll be well here in about 4 days, and I'm going to want a cocktail at Sidetrack, and I'm just that gay.
You're just that gay.
Just that gay.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueerCast.com and iTunes. The next QueerCast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City QueerCast. Queer and now.